guys, this is Nicole.
And I'm Rob.
And we're the Lucky Dippers. We actually have a vlog on YouTube, and we've just started this podcast because we just really like talking about travel.
And we hope that you enjoy hearing about it.
So today we're going to be talking about a city that we went to earlier this year called Gdansk. Gdansk is in Poland. It's a bit hard to pronounce. The way that they say it has, it's almost like it's Gdańsk, but it's hard. You have to talk to a Polish person to get the real pronunciation. It is way to the north of Poland, and it's right on the Baltic Sea in the Polish Pomeranian region. It's also the sixth biggest city in Poland. It has 462,000 inhabitants. So although it's not one of the more popular Polish cities, it's still a city in its own right. And what's interesting about it is that it's actually gone through many different countries that have ruled it. So at several points, it was Prussian or German, and it was actually a free city of Danzig before it was Polish.
Transportation in Gdansk, we took the taxi from the airport, which cost us about 50 PLN. And
that's złoty?
Złoty, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was quite a reasonable price. But we did question it, if I remember, because we had read online that they can be a little bit dodgy. But we actually found it was quite okay, and it came in at that figure. So that was fine.
One tip for that is it should be about 50, and you should always ask the driver before you get in. So if you get in and then just let them charge whatever they want, then you're kind of stuck and you have to pay for it. But if you negotiate beforehand, then you get the right price.
Actually, when I think about it, when you asked, he had to stumble for a few seconds there to come up with a figure.
Yeah.
I think he was quite happy for us just to hop in and say, although, yeah, there's 100 złoty at the end of the day. So, yeah, good tip. We also took the train from Gdansk up to Sopot, where we saw the World War II Memorial, and that was quite a reasonable trip. There was no problems with that. So that was good.
Yeah, so we stayed in Gdansk in an Airbnb, and it was 37 euro a night, and it was a really good one. It was two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and a little study corner there. And it was very spacious.
And a very good kitchen.
It was really modern as well. We would highly recommend it.
But I would say that when we first got there, you look at the outside of the building and I thought, what a dump. What have we done?
Yeah.
I thought we'd been diddled. But when we went inside, even when we walked inside up the steps, I'm like, oh boy, the paint is peeling off the walls. And then when we went inside, totally different.
I think Poland in general isn't as well kept in terms of like building maintenance as we would normally expect. And Gdansk, the city, is quite small. So even though we were about a 10-minute walk from the center, that was already enough to be outside of the center for Gdansk. And we struggled a bit with that. The location was actually not bad.
Well, it was probably close to 15 to 18 minutes to walk to the center. But for me, I really enjoyed where we stayed. I thought it was great because we had some grocery stores nearby, two or three to pick from, made more than 5 or 6 minutes walk. And the walk to the city was excellent.
And 37 euro a night, I think, for what we got, and especially because I really needed somewhere with great internet and it had to be comfortable to work in. We were there for 2 weeks. So I thought that it was a really good deal.
Agreed, totally.
So we did quite a few activities while we were there. One of the first things that we did was we went to the Amber Museum. Amber is quite big in Gdansk.
Well, because it occurs naturally, they actually find it or pick it up from the seaport. Sopot is one of the areas. It's actually, when they have a big storm, amber is actually thrown up on the beaches and actually have people going out there mining for it, in effect, with scuba gear.
Yeah, so the museum was actually really interesting. And it's free on a certain day. I've forgotten which day it was, but most of the museums in Gdańsk were actually like that. So when if you want to go to a museum, check out when they're free because it's one day of the week that each one is free. So we went there on that time, but of course, it's better to go earlier because there are school kids that choose that day to go there. But in the Amber Museum, we saw things like fossils, like old mosquitoes or something that had been fossilized in amber.
Well, amber is actually resin that's been aged. So resin comes from the trees. And what happened was the sap of the resin actually entrapped insects inside it. We really saw one that had a small gecko, a type of lizard inside of
Yeah.
it. So you're looking at something that's a couple of million years old, at
And it was
least.
perfectly
And it's perfectly
preserved.
preserved, yeah. Makes you wonder if Jurassic Park can't happen.
Yeah, because you could see the color, so
Yeah,
that,
the eyes,
yeah.
everything. It was amazing.
That was worth it, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I
Yeah.
actually I liked it so much that I got a ring, an amber ring from Gdańsk, and I'm looking at it now as we speak. It was pretty cool.
And it was very reasonably priced, by the way.
We also did quite a few walking tours, despite the cold. When we went there, it was negative 16 degrees. It was a time of the weird European cold snap that came from Russia, and it was like ice age weather. It was really cold, and we still did the walking tours, and we still enjoyed it.
To give you an indication of how cold it was, clang, clang.
What?
Balls of a brass monkey
Yeah, I
dropping
don't know
off.
if
Yeah,
that.
meanest
Okay.
joke. Anyway.
Just watch our vlogs. So the walking tours, we did one of the main town, which is pretty good. That kind of shows you the main points, the main historical points that you should hit. And that the my favorite part of that was it also took us to the post office, which is one of the two sites in Gdańsk where World War II began. And at the post office in particular, it was a coordinated attack by the Nazis. One was on the beaches of Westerplatte, and the other attack was at the Polish post office, and that's in the center of Gdańsk. So we actually got to go to the post office, which now isn't working, and we saw the wall where the post office workers had eventually been killed.
Well, it's even sadder because they fought a lot longer than what anyone thought they could.
Yeah.
These are post office workers, they're not
Yeah.
military. And when they eventually surrendered and they came outside, the Germans or the Nazis lined them up against the wall and shot the lot.
Well, the thing was they didn't do it right away either. Like they gave them fake
Yeah.
trials, pretending that there was some sort of justice, but there really wasn't because they were just people doing their jobs. I mean, they were Polish people protecting the post office, which was really important because it was the means of communication, which is, of course, why the Nazis wanted to capture it.
But when they surrendered, the head guy from the post office came out the front and said, "We surrender," and they shot him dead instantly.
And the second in command
And the
went,
second in command as well.
and
Then
they
the
shot
others
him.
came out, they took them, and then the mock trials happened. It's really very sad. But
Yeah.
it is an inspiration in one way, because what brave men and women.
Yeah, no, that was really a highlight of the tour, I think. And then we also did the solidarity tool, the solidarity tour, and that was the solidarity movement is really big in Poland because it happened. It was basically their answer to communism. So this was way after the Second World War, but the solidarity movement was started in Gdańsk by a guy named Lech Wałęsa. And it's a whole, I won't get into it now, but it's a very interesting story. And yeah, the tour was amazing. We actually went to the place where they signed that
The
treaty. Was it
treaty,
a
yeah.
treaty?
It was a treaty, yeah.
Yeah.
And we actually went to the building where they did the protesting,
Yeah.
which was, and then they put that statue up there now as well.
Yeah.
But that was a really interesting tour guide we had, because he explained everything.
Yeah. It's very interesting because that movement started off as just a workers' union. That's all it was at the beginning, was workers demanding, better pay, fair pay. and a better work environment. And it turned into something huge.
But it all kicked off because that one lady was sacked.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're not going to take this. So they protested. Then they put together, it then evolved from there, and they put together a list of things that they wanted, which they put out in post-it notes.
Yeah.
Look, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, definitely. And it took real guts.
Oh, yeah.
The other place that we went to was Westerplatte, which was, as I mentioned earlier, the other place where the attack on Poland happened. So what happened there was also really sad, because every year at that time, there would be German kids that would come on a ship to pay tribute to some German soldiers that had come. It was a nice visit, but one year there still were kids on top of the boat, but underneath the ship were soldiers. So they used the children as a disguise to attack Poland. And basically the Polish people knew that something would happen, and they had prepared as much as they could for it, but they really were no match for Nazi technology and weapons and just the sheer volume of them.
We could imagine that the Polish army, which was quite a reasonable size army, by the way, it's over a million. And I think at that time it was about 1.6, 1.8 million German soldiers. But the Germans were equipped with modern warfare.
Yeah.
They had machine guns and grenades. I mean, basically that the Polish had a 22 rifle.
Yeah. And a lot of them weren't even soldiers. So we actually got to go to the place where they had like their bunkers that had been bombed. It was really cool actually, because it's an open air museum. It's totally free. And we just took a bus from the main train station in Gdansk to get there. And it was just cool to walk around at your own pace. They've preserved the place. It's not, you know, it's not commercial at all. The ruins that are there, they've left them in ruins.
I don't even think you can buy a cup of coffee nearby.
Yeah, no, there wasn't.
Really,
yeah.
It's really, yeah.
It's really just like
underdeveloped,
untouched. Yeah, which I liked.
I think it added to the legitimacy.
Yeah, and it was just really sad.
It was.
That everywhere you looked, there was some historical thing that happened there. And it was just a testament to the Polish spirit, I think, because they just held on for hours. They knew that they were going to lose. They knew that they were no match, but they fought, and they fought as hard as they could. The other thing that we liked to do in the city was just walking along the Ulica Długa, which is the main street that runs through Gdansk. And I really like it because they still have a lot of the original buildings there. And some of them have like the old Polish style stoops, like the stairs that go down from the house. And all of the houses are kind of Dutch, actually, because of the Dutch architects that had come to Poland. They're very colorful. So it's just a great place to go. And then there are heaps of amber shops there.
Yeah, and not just in the main street, but in the side streets.
Yeah.
There are really a lot of them.
Yeah, but it's also a pedestrian street, and I love those.
I personally found it a bit drab.
Really?
Yeah, but that could have been colored by the minus 16 degrees.
Yeah. I love just walking through
that.
But
I didn't have the long johns then either. I was cold.
Yeah, I was okay. Yeah. And then the other thing was we went on a day trip to Sopot.
Now, Sopot's really nice.
Yeah.
And they've got that pier there where you can walk out. And once again, it was a freezing day out there. You walk out on the pier onto the ocean, and parts of the ocean were frozen. It was that cold. But it was some beautiful scenery. It really was.
We also saw the crooked house there. I don't really know why it's crooked. I don't know. They just made it that way. But it's a really cool-looking house, and if you're there, you should definitely have a look.
And we also had a very overpriced meal, lunch.
Yes, well.
I'm talking about that.
Yeah. We also went to the Solidarity Museum in Gdansk. I don't know why, but the museums in Gdansk, both of them, this one and the one we'll mention after this, they were really good. They were the best museums I've ever been to.
I really, really enjoyed them. Particularly the Solidarity, I would say that was, yeah, if not the best, right up there with it. And we could have spent 4 or 5 hours there, seriously.
Yeah, as it was, I think we spent like 3.
I'll tell you what's really interesting was, what I found interesting was how they recreated some street scenes.
Oh, yeah.
That was really clever.
Yeah, like they...
They'd taken the facades from the actual shops and they recreated them. And it was as if you were actually walking down the street. They had one where the butcher shop, and it's got nothing in it. And they said that's exactly how it was. There was nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have any meat. Meat was at a premium. So the Solidarity Museum covers the period of time after communism and way after World War II. And it just examines the effects of communism on the Polish people and on basically every aspect of the Polish people's lives. So government and, you know, meat, the lack of meat and schooling it. And it was just, it was so interactive. So you get, again, one day a week, it's free. And I think you still have to pay for the audio guides, but they were really good. Like they just start up when you go closer to an exhibit. And yeah, there were touch screen tables where you could sift through letters and photos. And it was just amazing. It really, Solidarity was, I hadn't even heard of it. But after, like, I really knew a lot more.
Because I'm quite a bit older than you, I actually was aware of Solidarity.
Just a little bit older.
I was aware of Solidarity. But I did not have the knowledge that we gained from going there.
Can't believe it's free.
I don't know that I would take kids there. I don't know that kids would find it that
I think Solidarity would. Oh, you mean from an interesting point of view. Yeah.
It might be a little bit beyond them, but for adults.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely recommended. And the second one we went to was a World War II museum, which was very similar to the Solidarity Museum in the style. Like it was also really interactive. It was also free one day a week and very, very informative. I like the World War II museum more, but I think it's just because I like the topic more. Not that it was a good thing that happened, but it's something that I'd already heard about. And I really did not know about Poland's role in World War II. I know I'm pretty ignorant in that respect.
Well, no, I don't think a lot of people do. For me, the thing that I got out of it was how inspirational the Polish people are. I mean, seriously, they get kicked in the teeth, kicked in the guts, and they keep standing up and they keep coming back. They've had countries that have taken them over. They've had countries that have actually taken their name off the world map.
Yeah. For no other reason than that they're Polish.
Yeah. And the Germans wiped them out because they're Polish.
Yeah, and I think in World War II, there's the thing that I associate most with it was the extermination of Jews, which definitely happened. But I didn't realize how many just non-Jewish Polish people were also exterminated.
Something like 1.6 million.
Yeah, it was huge. World War II is known for the effect on the Jews, but the Poles suffered the brunt of it. And Poland, the acquisition of Poland by the Nazis was also really a pivotal moment because they were the first country that the Germans tried to take by force. And they started with Gdansk because it used to be, it has a lot of German ties. At the time of World War II, something like 85% of the people there were Germans. And you still see that, like a lot of the street shops are in German first and then Polish. So it's just so interesting to see that. It was well worth it. I think I'm not a museum person. Neither of us is really. No. But I think that if you're in Gdansk, you should take some time to go to the museums. But do them, like spend a day each, plan a day each for them. We actually didn't finish the World War II museum just because it was a little bit too much.
Yeah.
We just got to a point where it was just so sad. We still spent hours there.
A good 3 hours.
Yeah, but we didn't see everything because it was just really depressing.
Yeah, but our attention spent 3 hours is more was covered. Let's talk about food.
Yeah.
Yay. We went to the Neptune Bar. Now, the Neptune Bar is actually what was set up originally, their milk bars, by the communists. So they are very, very basic. And the staff are not necessarily that friendly.
Yeah.
But the food was great.
Yeah.
The food was great. Really enjoyed eating there. It's a bit of a, think it's a bit of a joke amongst some of the Polish people from what we've seen, the people we spoke with.
But yeah, it's almost like they want to preserve that communist gruffness or something.
Yes. Yeah, it's like you go in there and they've got examples of the food. You know, it's been sprayed with some sort of lacquer and that's it. So do I want peas with gravy? Do we have lacquered peas with gravy? No, then you can't have it. It was really quite abrupt.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was good. I think milk bars in Poland are still quite a few of them. In all the cities that we went to, there were milk bars, and they're known for the subpar service, great food, but really also really cheap prices.
Yeah.
So we went there, and it was it's in our, like, all of the prices we talk about on our vlog, but it was really cheap, and that was our first meal in Poland, and we had the potato pancakes there.
They were really nice.
And you had the pork knuckle.
Yes.
And that was excellent.
It was. Yeah. But they have, like, for the sake of an argument, they have 20 different dishes they do, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what they have every day, unless they don't have it.
And it's simple. All traditional Polish food, too. Well worth experiencing.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, look, if you go to Poland, really go try one of the milk bars.
So the next place that we went to was Restauracja Kubicki, where Rob again had pork knuckle.
And beer.
And beer.
And my favorite soup.
Żurek. Which is like a sour bread soup.
Yeah, something like that. All I can tell you is it's yummy. I really enjoyed it. Now, I do a lot of cooking. I do all the cooking in the family. And I cook a lot of different dishes. But I really enjoyed the Żurek. Yeah.
So we went
that
there.
That came with a white Polish sausage in it.
Yeah. We went there for Rob's birthday, and that was really well worth it. Kubicki is a well-known restaurant there because that family has been maintaining that restaurant for decades. And it was more expensive than most of the Polish food, but for what it was, and it was a really classy experience, you know, wasn't fast food. It was a step above that, but the prices were still really good. I think we spent all up about $60 that night, €60 that night. And we were celebrating. So we had, you know, appetizers and main dishes. We had the main dishes were so huge. We had intentions of having dessert. We could not fit anything in.
Trust me, that's saying something.
Yes. And we both got really, we filled up on the beer. I struggled to walk home. It was excellent, though. And the third restaurant we want to talk about is my favorite. And as soon as we discovered it, we didn't go anywhere else because I just wanted to keep going back there. So I think we went there 4 times.
When Nikki says we, she meant she. She decided we'd go nowhere else.
Oh, you like it too.
Oh, not as much as you do.
Yeah.
Pierogi.
So it's
your
called
favorite food.
Well, it's called Mandu Pierogarnia. And all it sells is, well, the main thing that it sells is different kinds of pierogi from all over the world. If you don't know, pierogi are basically dumplings, but seem to do them in a different way. Like the dough is a lot thicker than like the Chinese dumplings that I'm used to, or even like the Japanese ones. But they have both of those too. They have Asian dumplings, Polish, Russian, and my favorite was actually the Georgian pierogi. I have no idea how faithful it is to like real Georgian cuisine, but it was amazing. They remind me of the Xiaolongbao, the Chinese Xiaolongbao, which is like the dumplings that have soup in them. Except these ones were huge and I don't know what was in it that I loved so much. It definitely had a bit of coriander, which is why Rob didn't like them so much. But they also had like the traditional Polish dumplings, which is meat with cream, onions, mushrooms, and bacon.
That was nice.
Yeah, I think that was the one you said was your favorite.
And strawberries with cream.
Yeah, they put their dessert pierogi.
Yeah, we were really dubious at first. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, but we quickly got over that.
Yeah, they were yummy. Yeah, they were nice.
They also had baked pierogi.
Yeah.
Seriously, it is so good that we actually have a stopover coming up, and we had to stop over in either Warsaw, Krakow, or Gdansk, only for 5 hours. And I chose Gdansk, despite the fact that it's not my favorite city in Poland we've been to. Mandu is worth a 5 hour stopover, in my opinion. It is so good. It actually has supplanted Špajza in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, as my favorite restaurant in the world, just because it's much cheaper and the variety of the things that you can get there, it's just,
but
you can go on for days.
If you only go on a weekend, allow that you may have to spend 45 minutes waiting outside in the queue.
Yeah. Go on during the week if you can, I think.
Our impressions of Poland. Let's talk about the people and the culture. From my point of view, I would not say that in Gdansk, they're necessarily the most friendly people. I think that's tempered by the fact that it's an older city. I think it has an older population, and a lot of them don't speak English. So I think that is already I certainly don't speak Polish. I think that made it a bit difficult, but I don't know that forthcoming and to be friendly. I've been to a lot more friendly countries, or cities at least.
I also think that Gdansk isn't that popular as a tourist destination. I don't know why it should be, but you know, when people go to Poland, they mainly stay in Krakow and Warsaw, or one of the two.
Yeah.
But I had never heard of Gdansk. I don't think, and we didn't see that many tourists there either. I know it was lower season, but still in Krakow and Warsaw, we saw heaps more.
Well, when we did the Solidarity Tour, we were the only two.
Yeah.
Now, the other one, there was a few, but remember, it was minus 16 and it was snowing and it was freezing.
We'll talk about that the next one. Well, actually, let's talk about it now. The climate.
Well, it was unseasonal. It was highly unusual because it was, as you mentioned earlier, it was that weird event through Europe where the snow and the cold weather came off Russia, apparently, they were saying, and even parts of the Thames in London were freezing. And when we went to Sopot, the ocean was frozen. Yeah. It was amazing. It really was.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to tell. We're not really sure how much of that is like just normal Gdansk weather and how much of it is that cold snap.
Yeah.
But while we were there, it snowed pretty heavily for at least some part of the day, every day.
And we really did not have the gear or the clothes to go out in that weather. We just didn't expect that.
We basically wore everything that we'd packed.
Yeah.
Including like a makeshift balaclava on my part. Is it balaclava or baklava? I always
baklava
is the food. Yeah. Okay. And it wasn't that it didn't rain. It was just always snow.
Snow. It was just cold.
Yeah. But I think that it would be pretty cool year round because it's to the north of Poland. It's already on the Baltic Sea, parts of it. And so I would imagine that you should expect colder weather than normal.
And there was a river and little canal sort of things running around through the city, which is nice.
Yeah. What about safety?
I felt safe there. I had no issues with it.
Yeah.
Mind you, we're not out at 2 a.m. in the morning either, but I had no trouble with feeling safe.
Yeah, well, you usually don't.
No, true. It's you. You're a bit engaged than me.
Yeah.
I'm a bit oblivious to it all, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, like I grew up in the Philippines, and so I'm kind of always more on guard than Rob is. But I have to say, in Gdansk, I was still on guard, especially, well, we didn't really stay out that late. We stayed out late once.
Yes.
And that was when we walked home from your birthday thing.
Yeah.
And from his birthday dinner. And I have to say, I felt pretty safe in Gdansk. In the center especially, no problems at all. Yeah. There are lights everywhere. I was a bit more, like my spidey senses were a bit more on guard when we walked out of the center and closer to where we actually lived. That one, I'm not so sure about it. It does seem to be a bit of like, it is a bit sketchier than the center of Gdansk, but It was mainly creepy because there was barely anybody out. So it wasn't that there were shady people walking around, in dark alleys. It was just that it was so empty that it was kind of creepy. Like if something had happened, there would be no one around to help. That's what I felt.
Sort of like Los Alamos when they dropped the first atomic bomb. There was
No.
nothing around there.
But some, yeah, because that was part of the appeal of Gdansk, that there aren't many tourists, that it isn't very commercial, that it's just, even though it's a big city, it seems a lot more spread out. And yeah, it's also part of the downside,
It is, yeah.
because it's smaller, for sure. Okay, so we want to talk about our favorite thing about Gdansk, and I think I'll go first because I think it's pretty obvious by this point what my favorite is going to be.
Would it have anything to do with food?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, look, so I feel bad saying this because I also really, okay, I'll say my number two favorite thing.
I thought we said just one.
I know, but
Okay, you don't want to
I'll
seem,
say
you don't want
my
to appear shallow.
yeah. My number two favorite thing about Gdansk is the history. I had no idea that Gdansk even existed, but I did, and I certainly didn't know that World War II started there, but because it did, it is such a historical place, and it's also because its history is a little bit different from the rest of Poland, because it was closer to Germany in pre-World War II, and it was also a free city of its own right at one point. So I enjoyed that part of it because it's jam-packed with history for such a small city. But I have to say my number one favorite thing is the food, particularly mandu. And yes, it is just that good that it's my number one thing about Gdansk. It was amazing. I can't stop raving about it. It was so cheap and extremely good. Even if it weren't cheap, it would still be my favorite restaurant.
She's really not joking. She can't stop
Yeah,
raving about it.
I dream about it.
Well, your number two is my number one.
Oh,
The
really? Okay.
history, I thought that was just it was living history in Gdansk. I really, really enjoyed the solidarity tour of World War II.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed going to Sopot as well. I think Sopot in summer would be extraordinarily beautiful to see. Because you would have that beautiful warm weather. And they had, by the way, gelato shops everywhere. They were closed when we were there. Well, actually, I went and got something instead of gelato. And then after I'd eaten it, the stupid gelato shop opened. But they
Yeah.
had quite a few of them there. And they've got some very highly recommended gelato places. So in summer there, walking out on the pier, which they charge you in summer, by the way. I think it's 1 euro, something like that. It's not a lot, but I think that would be well worth seeing as well.
Wait, but your favorite thing is the
Is the
historical
history.
part. Okay.
The favorite thing is the history, the solidarity. I think anyone that likes history, and it's not just the war, but I thought the union movement.
Even people that don't like history, because I really don't. I think history is really boring, but it's different when you're there at that place. And then it's like, because I mean, everyone has learned about World War II in school. I'm sure I've studied this, but it didn't seem real until I was there.
I had no idea that World War II started in Gdansk.
Yeah.
No idea. I didn't even know about Gdansk.
Yeah.
So it was a good selection of yours to take us there.
So before we wrap up, I know we didn't prepare this, but like, what's one thing? Is there anything that you wish we had done or had done differently in Gdansk?
Yeah, brought more clothes for the cold weather. But other than that, no, I thought we covered pretty much everything we wanted to see in Gdansk. I was quite happy with our trip there.
I think that I wish, because we were there for 2 weeks. And I still felt like there were things that I wanted to see that I didn't get to.
Like what?
Like, I would have wanted to, if I had had my time again, I would have gotten on the trains earlier and gone all the way to Gdynia. Because the three of them, Gdansk, Gdynia, and Sopot, are like a little tri-city area, and they're all on
Yes.
the coast, and they're all supposed to be beautiful. And I feel like, we spent, what, half a day in Sopot and we didn't see Gdynia at all. I would have wanted to like have spent more time
Well,
looking at
actually, there is
that.
something I would have done.
What?
It'd have to have been summer or spring, but I'd like to have walked along the beach to see if I could find some amber.
Yeah.
Because apparently you can if you find it. Good luck to you.
Actually, that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Then we could have made stuff that we could have had jewelry made from amber we'd found.
I think that would have been cool.
Yeah. I don't know how common that is, but they say that that's pretty, they seem
well,
to
they say said
it's
after
common.
A big storm, but
yeah.
Look, it's a lucky dip. There we go.
Yeah. So all in all, I really enjoyed our trip to Gdansk. I think that it was a great introduction to Polish history and culture because neither of us had been to Poland before then. And I really recommend people go there. I think it's really overlooked a lot of the times, I think.
As a starting point.
Yeah. It was a great starting point because it's in the north and you can kind of work your way down, I think.
Well, taking into account what we've seen post that, it's probably a nice introduction because it's taking you back from last century. And as you go to the new cities, you can see the difference. So you get a bit of a historical view from that point of view.
Yeah.
Because some of the buildings, you can see they've been knocked around by the war.
Yeah.
And they really haven't spent the money to upgrade it.
So if you want to know more or see what Gdansk looks like, have a look at our vlog on YouTube. It's just Lucky Dippers. And we're just now starting to go through them and edit them. But we should have a few vlogs out of that.
Nikki does all the work on the editing. I'm there for eye candy.
Yeah. You're there for comic relief. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast, if you're still listening by this point. And
we look forward to doing the next podcast for you.
Yeah. See you around. And bye. Until then, happy
lucky dipping.